Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
I see the work of your hands, galaxies spinning, a heavenly dance. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. And I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, captivated by your beauty.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed looking once again into the book of Luke. I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. It was a little rainy, but we celebrate those who gave up their life for our country and for the freedom that we have, and we certainly honor them and thank them for their service, obviously.
Yeah, you know, what an incredible thing that men and women have done over the years of this great nation. They were willing to lay down their lives, and many did, and we are grateful.
What's really amazing to me is I listen to sometimes some of the news people, and they ask the people about different wars, and they ask them about different conflicts, and they have no idea. The young people have no idea what it costs America for their freedom.
No.
And so I wonder sometimes when we read the Bible, do people really understand what it costs? What it costs, that what God paid for their freedom? I mean, sometimes I think we don't. Obviously, if people don't know what we paid for in wars, they're certainly not going to understand the costs that the Bible helps us to understand.
You know, and so many people are under the false teaching, and I'm going to say false teaching, but I remember reading an article about a great athlete who he thought that, you know, in his life, if his good deeds outweighed his bad deeds, he'd be okay for eternity. And that was kind of his motto, you know, and how he lived. And it's not a bad way to live, to try to do good and to be a good person, but that is not going to take care of you for eternity.
No, it won't. And there is a cost for your freedom, and Jesus paid that cost. Today, we're looking in Luke chapter 20, and we're talking to you about paying taxes. This is pretty an interesting one, and everybody pays taxes. What do they say? There are two things in life, death and taxes. You just can't get away from both of them.
But death doesn't get worse every time Congress gets together.
Yeah, and honestly, if you look at what our taxes are and what the government is spending our money on and the deficit that we find ourselves in, it is a spiraling problem that we have right now. They always had problems in taxes even in the days of Jesus, though.
Nothing's new.
So here we are in chapter 20, in verse number 20. If you have your Bibles, open it up to Luke 20:20. And here he says, keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies. This is talking, of course, about the teachers of the law, the chief priests. Yes. They're looking for a way to arrest Jesus. So they're keeping a close eye on Jesus. Now, if you're keeping a close eye on Jesus for a good reason, that's good.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. But if you're looking at keeping a close eye, and some people keep a close eye on Christians just so they can find a fault.
That's what they're looking for.
They're looking for a fault. They can say, what kind of Christian are you?
Yeah.
Because you did this or you did that. None of us are perfect. That's not the case, but Jesus was perfect.
Yeah.
And they're still trying to find fault.
They're still trying to, you know, I knew that church was filled with hypocrites.
Yeah, what does the guy say? Did you go to the grocery? Grocery store's full of hypocrites,
full
too.
Of hypocrites.
So that's not a good reason. But here they're keeping a close eye on Jesus. But besides keeping a close eye, they've got the FBI, the CIA, they've got everybody involved because it says they sent spies.
Yeah.
Spies. Now, you know, I love a good spy thriller.
Yep.
And sometimes when you send spies out, they're looking to try to find something that a person's doing wrong. And that's what they're looking for. Obviously, these are keepers of the law is what they're called. So they're looking for ways that Jesus is breaking the law. That's what they're looking for. They're spies.
You know, it's interesting. And obviously, nothing gets by Jesus.
He knew.
He knew what people were thinking. As we've read through this gospel, you know, over and over again, we hear, but he knew their thoughts. He knew what was in their heart. So this is something that's not going to catch him unaware.
I like this next term, though. The next term says they were watching on him, and they sent spies who pretended to be honest. In other words, what they were saying is that that's not why we're here, right? They're putting up some other reason. We're following you because we love you. We're following you because we want to learn more about you. They're pretending to really be honest.
Yeah.
You have to ask yourself, I wonder how many people come to church services and they're pretending to be honest.
Wow.
There's some reason within their life that they feel like they have to do this, maybe for their mother, maybe for their father, maybe for some conscience.
Yeah.
Something in their mind, so they pretend to really want to serve the Lord, but in reality, they don't.
No.
They're there for another reason. They want people to see them. Now, if I see you in church, maybe if you're a shop owner, I'll buy something from you.
Right.
Because you're a Christian.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's a pretending to be honest,
exactly.
Just so they get some kind of a gain.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, in Florida at one time, they had a Christian Yellow Pages, and and everybody who was a Christian had stuff in there in yellow pages, and they pretended to be honest. And a lot of times I've heard people say to me, now, if I hire somebody, I'm making sure I'm not going to hire a Christian because I have no recourse because I have to love them.
Yeah. Ouch.
If they don't keep their contract, they don't do it right, I want them to do it over. You know, I just can't do anything because, you know, I'm supposed to love them. And so that becomes a problem. But I don't think that should be the way it is.
No. I've heard some of the most challenging places to work are so-called Christian organizations. It's just a little bit
it's
more
a shame.
Of a challenge.
Yeah. It shouldn't be that way, should it?
No,
that's not the way it should be. But here they're spies. They're pretending to be honest. They hope to catch Jesus in something he said so that they might hand him over to the power and the authority of the governor. So they're keeping an eye on everything he says. Yeah. I honestly wonder who the government listens to. Are they listening to the preachers? Because there are some people that want to curtail what a preacher can actually say.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully, Trump has stopped some of that.
Protected the rights, yeah.
By the Johnson law, and he removed that. But I'm still feeling like in the future, they're probably going to be trying to catch us.
Well, in certain parts of the world, preachers can and cannot preach certain passages
That's
of
true.
Scripture, so it's happening.
So it's already happening. And why? So they can hand them over to the governor. So the basic thing is so they can have authority over them because they're trying to control them.
Yeah.
That's the idea, is controlling.
Silence them.
Yeah. So the spies questioned him. So here they are. Jesus must know they're spies, obviously, because he's got this insight.
Yeah.
And the spies now are going to question him. Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right. I love that. Don't you just love that?
Oh.
It's buttering them up. Buttering them up. Yeah, really trying. You always teach what's right. You always teach what's good.
They lay it on thick.
They are. They're pretending to be honest.
Yep.
In other words, we really love you. We know that you're going to say something that's going to be true. You're not going to take partiality. And that's what they go on and say, that you don't show partiality, but you just teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Now, that's probably not like everybody who was a Pharisee or everybody who was teaching the scriptures. Many of them showed partiality to people who were rich, people who had money to take care of them. So that happens even, I think, in churches today, that sometimes that's the case. You'll find people saying and doing things that are towards the wealthy and so forth rather than for everyone.
Yeah.
So here they're being honest. They're trying to be honest and saying, we know that you don't do that. So then he asks the question. I love this question. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And there's a lot of people today say that taxes that we charge people are illegal. That's why they say, well, sometimes the tax places that do this, they are in another country or some island off the United States, and they say all these things about it. And so they say that we shouldn't be having to pay taxes. Now, obviously, this is really what caused the early rebellion in Boston is because of taxes.
Taxation without representation. It's tough because we live in a great nation. We live in the greatest nation on the planet, I feel. And
we
people
do.
Are wanting to be here because of the freedoms that we have and the potential that is here for you to have a nice life as opposed to other parts of the world. And part of it is because we pay taxes and the government does certain things and takes care of us, the roads and various other things. So it's a part of our lifestyle. I remember a person coming up to me one time, and they were from another faith, I'll put it that way. And they started talking to me about the government and do I believe in the government? They were basically saying that God is our only government and we shouldn't be governed by the president and all this other stuff. And so I looked at the person, I said, so do you pay your taxes or not? And they're like, well, yeah. I said, well, then you're a hypocrite, because you're paying, if you don't believe in the government, then you shouldn't be paying your taxes. And so you have to really be careful how you think and how you apply scripture, because scripture does tell us we need to have that authority over us and governors are put in place by God. And Jesus handles this situation really well, but you really need to think through these questions and make sure you have the right answer.
But you think about it, because the people in Israel had a great problem with Roman rule.
Yeah.
And Roman rule basically said Caesar is God, and so you have to pay taxes to him.
Yeah.
And so this is a question, not just paying taxes, but actually paying taxes to God,
to
Caesar.
It's more of that moral.
There's a little morality in here.
Yeah,
you know, that's really where they're coming from here. So these guys are trying to catch Jesus because they know that Jesus represents God. And here's Caesar claiming to be God. So should we pay taxes to him? And he saw through their duplicity and he said to them, show me a denarius whose portrait and inscriptions are on it. And Caesar's, they reply. And then he says to them, then give to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God's. Now, that's certainly, when I've seen it on television, when I've watched them portray that in a drama presentation, everybody's in shock at the wisdom that Jesus uses at this very moment, because they know they're trying to really catch him.
Yeah.
And yet he turns to something so simple.
Yeah.
Just a coin.
Yeah.
And on the coin, there's a picture of Caesar.
And his name.
And his name. So there you go.
I remember as a kid, you know, whenever we had stuff and there was a fight about whose stuff it was, we always asked, is your name on it? You know, we'd always write our name on our gloves or our bats whatever.
Yeah.
You know, is your name on it? And it had to come from this. You know, whose name is on it? Well, then give it to him. That's his name.
Yeah, it's true. But I don't think people really grasped the whole of that, because the question basically was more or less, should we pay these taxes to God, who is Caesar, or should we pay our taxes to the true God?
Right.
And then he points to something that's really very physical, and it's a piece of gold or whatever the coin was made out of. And he says, well, whoever's picture's on that, why don't you pay that to that person?
Give it to him. But make sure you give God what is God's. And that's your whole heart. That's your life. That's everything. You know, God made you. God's fingerprint is on you. God's name is on you.
Yeah.
So give yourself to him. But
And I always use this. I know a lot of people, when they talk about tithing and so forth, well, they should, you should tithe before the government takes the money out of your account. And for me, you give the taxes what the government requires. That's like saying, give to Caesar that which is Caesar. Now, whatever's left over that you get, it's an increase to you. That's what you should pay your tithe on, that particular amount. And otherwise, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. A businessman makes $1 million and they say, well, you should pay $100,000 in tithe. Well, you can't, because the businessman's got expenses. The businessman's got to buy new equipment. There's all kinds of stuff.
50% goes to taxes.
And it's not an increase to that person, because it's not. The government takes it. So I like to use this when somebody tells me that. I say, okay, whatever is Caesar's, let him have it. But whatever's God's, let him give it to him.
Amen.
They were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public, and astonished by his answer, they become silent. that's always amazing when somebody says something and it silences everyone. It's very seldom in reality that when somebody makes a statement, it's so, I think, profound that it brings silence. I mean, that's really wisdom in an amazing form when that happens to life. Because it doesn't happen that often. Most people just blab away, and it's something that they think, but it's not a real spiritual gem. But when somebody speaks a real spiritual gem, it just kind of catches you in a moment. You say, gee, I never thought about it that way. That's amazing.
You know, it's a very simple question. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar?
Right.
Or not? And so, like you said, Caesar's claiming to be God. And so the religious response is absolutely
cannot,
not. No,
cannot.
You don't give you don't pay him anything, because he's a false God. He's a false deity.
That would be the moral answer for a religious person.
And yet here Jesus just comes back with this, and he's like, show me the coin. Let's take a look at the coin. You know, it's not a simple yes or no. He makes you think about it, and then he takes you down this road. And like you said, there's some profound thinking here.
It really is.
That I think a lot of people have lost the ability to think that deep. Or I don't want to say lost the ability. I don't think we're thinking that deep anymore.
No. That's true. And I think that because Jesus said something like this, I would have to imagine that the Apostle Paul, he picked up on this. And the Apostle Paul really understood this, because he said the government is there for you.
Right.
The government is there to protect you. So he actually picked up on this. If it's a government and you want peace in your life, then you pay attention to them. If he's a policeman, in. He wears a gun to protect you.
Yeah.
You listen to him. You don't call him pigs in a blanket.
Right.
I mean, you just, you pay your respect to the government
yeah.
that's over you, that's causing this peace in your community. And so you pay attention to that. And that's really what he's saying here yeah. when Jesus is saying, well, it's right to pay taxes to, if Caesar's yeah. going to do these kinds of things for you. So pay taxes to him. But also remember that God, what he's given you, you should also yeah. honor him.
And Paul took it to that next level where he said that those leaders that are in authority over you, they're there by God's choosing.
By God's choice.
Even the pagan ones.
That's, there you go.
And so once again, Jesus is presenting a teaching or a thought here that goes way beyond just, you know, what the Jews were thinking and brought it to a whole nother level. And they had no response to it. They had no way to answer it because he had nailed it.
Yeah.
Just nailed it.
There's a clarity here that is moral, and yet it's not what I'd call hypersensitive morality.
Right.
There's a lot of people that are like very super spiritual, and that's not what he's doing here.
No.
That's what I love about Jesus. He's practical, and he's understanding. He understands life, and he helps us to understand it better. So that's really pretty cool.
Here's the world we live in. Right now, Caesar is ruling over us. The Roman Empire is in charge, and guess what? God the Father knows that.
He knows it.
And it's all right.
Yeah, it is. So give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Yeah. Give to God what is God's. And I think that's a great... I guess you call it a rule of thumb.
Yeah.
It's a great rule of thumb for all of us when it comes to our respecting the government, respecting what they do for us. Like you mentioned, it's
all right. Now you're stepping on toes, Pastor. I have to respect the government?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not just roads that they give. They bring peace.
Yeah.
Even though today, like we look at, the government is not so much interested in helping people become moral, nor helping people to have peace. They seem to be a dividing that some people are instituting rebellion within the people rather than a government bringing peace. They're instituting rebellion. They're saying, let's rebel against this government. Now, that's totally wrong because that's not what Jesus says at all.
No.
Because he could have easily said, no, let's rebel against Caesar. But he didn't.
No.
This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. You know, the Bible is a wonderful book that helps us understand life and have a better view of it. So we hope that God keeps you in his precious wisdom. In Jesus' name, have a great day.